this opportunity to thank Sly and Louise for just being so devoted to our preteens. And really, it's about making memories that our children, if they can grow up in the church and have some incredible memories, that's really what's very important. And, you know, it's exciting that we do have some young actors and actresses. I mean, they had a lot of lines, and they memorized their lines, and they knew their cues, and I think we're going to see something big, Keegan. For all of our friends and family members who are visiting with us, thank you for being a part of our service. I'm going to share a few thoughts, and we will have our communion. So let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father and God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be together. Thank you so much, God, for being a God of love, of compassion, and thank you for this time of the year. Although many people don't understand what it means, I pray as Christians, every day we can celebrate. Every day we can understand the importance of you allowing your son to come into this world. And I pray, dear God, we never take that for granted. Be with us during this time as we study these scriptures, dear God. Help our hearts to be in tune with your will for our lives. We ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen. Thank you, Brother Press. Okay, we've been going through the book of Corinthians. And this week we were supposed to do 1 Corinthians 14. However, in view of the fact that it's almost the end of the year and we have a new series that we're kicking off, I'm going to do 1 Corinthians 14 at a midweek because it's a very important chapter that talks about the spiritual gifts and how they are manifested in our lives and how they should be used. So we'll look at that. But today what we'll look at is 1 Corinthians 15 because it really ties in with this spirit that we are currently going through the holiday season. So we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15, and then we'll close this out. And I want to thank Angel for this series. You know, Church in the City, it's been very good for me. I have been reading the Bible for a number of years, but I've learned so much material, so much more insight into the book of 1 Corinthians. Let's pick it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 12. And you know, Paul was always ministering to our early brothers and sisters, trying to help them understand what it meant to be in the faith. And you know, it's easy to go to church and to grow up religious and not have a clear understanding as to what it really means to be in the faith. And I believe, you know, as Christians, we need to obey. It says, love the Lord your God with your heart, with your mind. That understanding intellectually, scholarly, what it means to have a relationship with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul starts off, and he's talking to the church there, and he wants to help them understand again what the gospel is all about. Then he talks about himself being the least of the apostles. However, he meant in that because I'm one of the last ones to come along who actually saw Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. I don't count myself with the others, but it motivated me to work harder than all the rest. So he talks about his motivation, and then we're going to pick it up here in verse 12. Verse 12, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how come some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your proclamation is without foundation, and so is your faith. In addition, we are found to be false witnesses about God because we have testified about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. In fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. Therefore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. Basically, the theme of today, for all those who strive to be faithful, the resurrection of Christ is the center of the Christian faith. The resurrection of Christ is the center of the Christian faith. Before Jesus came along, there was plenty of religion. There was always religion. Man has always believed in some form of gods. Oldest world religion, Hinduism, same thing as paganism. They had all their little gods that they, god of fire, god of winter, god of summer. They had all these gods. They knew inside there had to be something supernatural beyond them. And then you fast forward, Buddhism grows out of Hinduism. And Buddhism makes it about thinking the right way and doing the right things. And basically in Buddhism, there is no god. And the goal is for you to chant your way to peace and contentment. Then we had Judaism come along. Judaism comes along, and basically God is calling Abram out of the world of paganism and saying, I'm setting you aside for one reason, to point people back to the Almighty God. And God used the Jewish race to prepare people for Jesus. God had made a promise to Abram. He said, you know, you will bless all nations. Because of you, all nations on earth, all peoples will be blessed. So what was he talking about? He was talking about having an opportunity to know Jesus. Jesus is for everybody. He's for everybody. But, you know, him being for everybody doesn't mean that everyone is going to accept him. But for those of us who claim to be the faithful, let us really count the cost on what we're saying. Because there were people who said Christ did not resurrect. They said the apostles had stolen the body. You know, if you know anything about those guys, the last thing they were going to do, were going to tackle with the Romans and steal the body. They weren't those type of men. He goes on to say, let's read this. If Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is without foundation, and so is your faith. You know, there are some people who say, I would be a Christian even if heaven wasn't promised. Just to live this life on this earth is enough reward for me. Not for me. I'd never sing that song. No matter what church I was at, I'm like, no. Because it didn't make sense. It's not logical. And, you know, it sounds nice, and it's a nice melody and all, but it's not logical. And Paul even says, listen, if your faith isn't real, you're wasting your time. Whoa. Why spend 10, 15, 20 years in a worthless faith? What is the faith centered around? Jesus being raised from the dead. In verse 18, therefore, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone. Paul said, listen, if you're not going to be committed to the resurrected Jesus, you're wasting your time. That's really what he's saying. Why live the Christian life half-heartedly? Why? So what that means, if he wasn't real, then this is a nice social gathering. But I can think of other things to do on a rainy Sunday morning. Just to come out and socialize. And think of other things to do. So what it tells me, and the way I try to live my life, if he is real, I'm going to live daily as though he is real and that he has an expectation for my life and the life of those around me. Can I get another amen out there outside of Angel Maldonado? Come on, church. I mean, this is real stuff. And really what it means is time for us to really engage. Engage Jesus, to really look at what we committed ourselves to. In verse 20, let's pick it up there. He says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. So Christ has been raised from the dead. And we can rejoice about that. See, more people get excited about the baby than they do the man. You know we love babies. Didn't the babies look so cute? We love them. We love babies. We want to hug them and we want to kiss them. And don't want to change diapers all the time, but we labor through that. Yeah, Keegan, you've been doing double duty with twins. But we just love babies, and they're nice and cuddly, and they come on stage with their little jingle bells, and we're like, oh, it's so cute. But one day, baby's going to start talking. And one day, baby grows up. The baby grew up, and he has something to say. That's the Jesus that we should celebrate. That's the Jesus we should get to know. Because that's the Jesus that challenges me to the core. Even when I'm thinking I'm doing well spiritually, if I take some time out to read about Jesus, the selfless life, there's room for me to grow. And you know, Jesus starts saying things that I don't always like. Deny yourself. How often? Now, if we could just do it once and get baptized, woo, that would be fun. Daily. Then Jesus says, if they strike you on one cheek, give them the other one. Ooh, if we could practice that, married people. Go toe for toe. You said this, and I'm going to say that. The ones who laugh the loudest are the ones who really convicted. Goodness, brother. But there's so many teachings that Jesus challenged us with that calls us higher in our characters, because the ultimate goal is to be more like him. Now, you know, and then Paul went deep, and Paul said some things here down in verse 33 and 34 that was really challenging. Because Paul goes on to say, you know what? Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Don't be misled. You know, there's a lot of religion out there. And there are a lot of people that say that all you need is that Sunday morning Jesus. But Paul was saying, don't be misled. You know, I know some of us are making resolutions, thinking about our spiritual walk with God, who we will be in 2017. And this is a good time of the year to do a spiritual evaluation of our lives, to evaluate how did we do in 2016, and to ask ourselves, what personal goals do we have for 2017? Now, we all want to make more money, and we want to go on more vacations, but what about spiritual goals? What about spiritual dreams? What about spiritual aspirations? Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You know, Paul says some pretty deep stuff here as he talks about the resurrection, because there in the Jewish community, I'm sorry, in the Greek community, the Gentiles taught there was no physical resurrection of the body. The Gentiles taught the Greeks through their philosophy that the body was evil, it was corrupt. The soul will be resurrected, but the physical body would not. In verse 35, but someone will say, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come? Foolish ones, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you are not sowing the future body, but only a seed, perhaps a wheat or another grain. All right, let's do a little exercise here. Seeds. Sunflowers. Okay. Now, do they look alike? Okay. Orange or lemon. They are seeds. Okay. Okay. Y'all know how big sequoia trees are? And it comes from that little seed that someone was holding in the palm of their hand. So what the scriptures were saying, this body that we are in is a seed. Dale, put up the next one. You ever thought about it? What will we become? This is a seed. In verse 38, but God gives it a body as he wants, and to each of the seeds his own body. Not all flesh is the same flesh. There is one flesh for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the splendor of these heavenly bodies is different from the earthly ones. There is splendor of the sun, another of the moon, and another of the stars, for one star differs from another star in splendor. Let's skip down to verse 50. And Paul goes on to say, brothers, I tell you this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Listen, I'm telling you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For the corruptible must be clothed with incorruptibility, and the mortal must be clothed with immortality. When the corruptible is clothed with incorruptibility, the mortal is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will, some of us at least, will be asleep. We're going to sleep. When we have labored, when God says, well done, good and faithful servant, that's when you get to go to sleep. You go rest. And as we sleep, we will be transformed once we are awakened. You know, sometimes when people pass on, we say, oh, they're in heaven. No, they're sleeping. They're resting. They are resting. Some of y'all love sleep. Your time is coming. And it's going to be beautiful sleep. And then when you awake, you're going to be perfect. But think about it. What is it that you wish you could do now? How tall do you wish you could be? What athletic gifts do you wish you could have? What musical voice do you wish you sounded like? When you look in the mirror, it's like, I wish I looked like so-and-so. Do you realize when you're resurrected, you're going to be perfect? You're going to be perfect. You're going to have perfect hair, no bad hair days. Perfect teeth, perfect skin, a perfect voice, a perfect body. You're going to be perfect. You know, our sister, Linda, is going on ahead of us. She is sleeping and she is resting. Cancer ravaged her body. But that was a seed. That was a seed. When that trumpet sounds and she gets up, she's going to be perfect. Y'all want to know what she's going to look like? Y'all want to see? Bible doesn't give much details about that spiritual body, but it's going to be amazing because it says when we see him, we shall become like him. When we see God, we shall become like him for those of us who persevered and stayed faithful. I want to thank the brothers and sisters in this room who have persevered, the men and women who have stayed faithful, the men and women who have said, you know what, I love the Lord. I love this ministry. I just want to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And I'm encouraged by the new people who have come in. And I want to encourage you, if you just started your walk, stay faithful. In 2017, where you are now at 2016, in this room, stay faithful to God. And year after year after year, as the years mount up, stay faithful to God. Because it's going to be worth it. You know why it's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth at the end? Because there are going to be people who say, I should have stayed faithful. See, I believe everybody's going to stand before God in judgment. And they're going to see those new bodies. Oh, yeah. There's going to be some tears flowing. Because I was studying this commentary. It says something really deep, that we will maintain our personalities. That when we're on the other side, we will probably know each other. Right? That you? Chisholm. Now, Chisholm, you were the man on the other side, but good grief. Whoa. Whoa. We're going to be blown away. Like, look what I can do. I can do that too. Look how high I can jump. I can jump just as high as you. Oh, who's that singing? Wow. Everybody sounds like Tina now. Oh, my gosh. Everybody sounds, even Angel sounds like Tina. That's just, you know there is a God. I mean, you know there is a God. Angel and Ed are sitting by each other. Were y'all both singing loud today? Lord be with us. But amen. All I can say is, as we get ready to take communion, one of the things I want us to reflect on, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. That this is only a seed. So can we stop getting so caught up with seeds? Can we stop getting so caught up? We spend so much time working on this outward seed. We got to spend more time working on the inward. What we will become. It's a seed. It's like people taking sunflowers and putting them in a vase. Oh, look at my beautiful sunflower seeds. No. You want the sunflower. Those little rose seeds. Oh, look at here. Isn't these amazing? Okay, brothers, give your wife a handful of rose seeds and see how well that goes over. Or give her a handful of roses. We spend so much time on the unimportant that we lose sight of what God is doing. Communion is a time to remember Jesus. He resurrected. He was real. My challenge to the church, if you believe in that baby Jesus who grew up to be our Savior, make a commitment to live that way in 2017. Live like the resurrection is true. Live that way. Don't just be religious. Don't just say, oh, I'll just come to church and I'll just be there no matter what. I'm not that into it. I'll just be. No, don't waste time. Live like the resurrection means something. And live like you got something you're looking forward to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father and God, we come before you right now. And God, you are so amazing. You're so incredible. And what's humbling is that you want to share that amazing state you have with us, that you actually care about us enough to share your glory with us. And God, you simply ask us to live in a way that others can have an invitation to share your glory. I pray, dear God, that as we take this communion, that we will reflect on the resurrection. As we take this communion, God, we will anticipate who we will become. That as we take this communion, God, we will rejoice. Our sister Linda is resting. Thank you, God, for her life. Thank you that she is able to rest. And God, we pray to join her. So one day we will rest, and one day we will resurrect with her and with your son, dear God, and live for all eternity, bringing glory to you. Thank you for the body that was broken, the blood that was shed, that represents the forgiveness of our sins. And we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen.